Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany radio program. We're in the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, and of course, it's just a few weeks before the, or excuse me, a couple of days before the election here in the United States. So, kind of a real special time for us to be in prayer, really heavily in prayer, and really examining our conscience. And we're going to talk a little bit about conscience and about how we come to believe, and if we are believers, and is God part of our life. So as we go through these readings today, it's really beautiful, and we have Bishop Bradley here with us today. Bishop Bradley, good that you're here.
Good morning, Deacon Louie. It's great to be with you and the listeners for this program.
That's great. And, of course, we try to do this at least once a month, but it's kind of an important time, you know, in our country's history. And but even more so, every day is an important day in our lives concerning God. So we really want to not just make this about election time or a political time, but really about the timelessness of God and how people have been persecuted all through time. And people who believe in God have been persecuted all through time. So we're going to talk about, we're going to read these scriptures today, and then we'll talk with Bishop Bradley and get his ideas and outlook on what the church is teaching us today. So our first reading comes from 2 Maccabees, and this is how 2 Maccabees goes. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the other, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are all ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise us up and to live forever. It is for his law that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once, and he was, as he was told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again." Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he had died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope that God gives me of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next psalm reading this weekend is, let's see here, Psalm 17. Psalm 17. "Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be filled. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from the lips without deceit. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I, in justice, shall behold your face. On walking, I shall be content in your presence. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full." And then we have a reading from 2 Thessalonians 2. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 16, 3, and 5. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that you may be delivered from perverse and wicked people. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord, that you will, that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now our gospel reading, the bishop will read that.
And this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her. Likewise, all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her. Jesus said to them, the children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush when he called out, Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful readings today, and Bishop, it's good to have you here, and it's always important and nice to hear from you and for all of your flock here in the diocese to hear from you as well. So what do you, any thoughts you want to talk about first off, or you want to dive right into the scriptures?
Well, no, I think, Deacon, you look very well rested today, and
yes,
maybe all of our listeners do as well.
Sure.
This is the day that we got that extra hour of sleep, having changed our clocks, where we know that we keep moving forward into this season. It's the first Sunday of November. November is a special month for us in our Catholic tradition, as you know. It's a month where we pay particular attention to those who have preceded us in death. The month of November got off to a beautiful start on November 1st, of course, with the great solemnity of all the saints.
Uh-huh.
And we rejoice with all those who have gone before us that we know, we trust are with God forever, and in what we call the communion of the saints. Too many, as St. John says in the beautiful first reading for that day from the book of Revelation, too many to count, but people from every race and language and nation and tribe Those are the people who have completed their time on this earth and are living now with God forever in heaven. And that was followed, of course, immediately by the next day, November 2nd, the commemoration of all the faithful departed. Again, remembering those who have died, but who may not yet be in heaven and are still going through that cleansing process that we have, is that beautiful sense, that understanding of purgatory, that place where or time quality where we go through the final cleansing before we're able to go on to be with God forever. And so we pray for them as well. And throughout the whole month of November, we remember all of the faithful departed. It's a beautiful thing, you know, that too often, you know, maybe these days we're kind of putting aside. Our funeral rites seem to be changing and just very quickly going through the process. And yet those who have died are still very much a part of our lives. They might be separated from us now through death, but they remain with us. We as Catholics, of course, talk about the church here on earth, the church triumphant in heaven, and the church that's still on the way.
Yes.
And that's so we're thinking about these things at this time of the year, in this month of November, the second to the last month before we will conclude the year. And as we're kind of starting to wind down the church year, because that, of course, comes to an end next Sunday, is the last Sunday of the church year, and then it's all celebrated in the Great Feast of Christ the King on November 20th. So, and that's the end of the liturgical year. The Sunday after that, November 27th, we start a new liturgical cycle again with the first Sunday of Advent. So this time of year is always a little bit not so much nostalgic as much as it is a time for reflection, to really ponder life, the great gift of life that we have, and death, which is a human reality. It's a part of our human circumstance. And so the readings today, very appropriately, deal with life and death issues.
Yes.
I mean, they can't be any more clear that we're talking about life and death.
Yes.
During our lifetime, of course, there's lots of things for us to think about, lots of issues for us to be concerned about, lots of responsibilities that we have in our lives, to our families, to our communities, to our nation, to our world. But there are those ultimate realities that we have to be thinking about as well. You mentioned that we're just a couple of days away from the general election. And not only are we selecting a new president, but we're selecting people to represent us, to help govern us in every level of our community life and civic life, nationally and statewide and locally. These are people that take on some great responsibility that we entrust to them through our voting. And so that voting process is so important for us as citizens of this country to participate in. And yet, as Catholics, as followers of Jesus, we know we also have a greater responsibility. So as we approach the voting responsibility that we have, that great privilege to be a part of a democracy where we help to choose those who are going to govern us, we can't ever lose sight of those life and death issues that that really are part of the issues of our own day and time. And so it makes any election challenging, you know, because we know that there's probably no one perfect candidate at any level. And so we try to do the very best that we can, following our conscience, following the teachings of the church, following our love for our country, and for our fellow citizens to make the very best choices. And so we're being very mindful of this responsibility and privilege that we have, and we pray that there will be an outcome that will help our country to continue to move forward.
Amen.
As we're thinking though about these scripture readings, I think they all really have a part to play as we heard that beautiful reading from Maccabees mm-hmm. that you mentioned. It's Maccabees is one of those important books, historical books in the Old Testament that talked about the period of time of great persecution, where the Jewish people were being persecuted greatly as society was trying to blend everybody to look and act like one another.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever differences there were, whatever distinctions there were, including religious convictions, there was an attempt to wipe that all out so that we could just all be, people could all be, look the same and act the same. Well, I mean, I don't think that's the way God made people in the first right. place. But for the Jewish people, this was a time of great suffering. And so we have this reading. We only heard a part of it this morning.
Uh-huh.
There's a much longer section. As we heard when the reading was starting out, when you began to read, there was a widow and seven children.
Yes.
Her seven children.
Yeah.
We only heard about three of them in that reading
right.
who were killed. But we know that all seven of them were killed
right.
Eventually. And not just killed easily, but tortured
yes.
For their faith. And each and every one of them took their turn to not just cower in the face of what was going to be a certain death, but to stand up with great conviction
yes.
In light of what it was that they were being asked to give up. And they said, how could they possibly do that? They could never turn their back on their faith and on their belief in God. And so, I think it's a tremendous lesson for us today. You know, while that historically took place thousands of years ago.
Right.
We look around our world today, and there are many similarities with yeah. what we're experiencing today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some?
Still happening. It's still happening in some ways, too, and Middle Eastern countries where Christianity is outlawed, and even, listening today on Catholic radio, some of the horrible things that are happening to Christians and other people over in the Middle East. But you're right, Bishop, and is it religious freedom? And really asking ourselves, do we believe in religious freedom? Even people who don't go to church, that question needs to be offered up. And as the scriptures are telling us, too, is, this number seven is used, right? And, we have seven in the Old Testament reading from Maccabees, and then seven again in the Gospel reading. But then I always think about the seven times 70, the forgiveness mm-hmm. thing,
sure.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this reflection is both in Genesis and in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, this forgiveness thing of Christ telling us to forgive 70 times 7, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. And just this... It's a challenge for all of us that we have to, this examination of conscience when we go to vote. But you know what? That's just one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
just one day this week. What am I going to do on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
I ask a lot of people, if your candidate, your so-called king, doesn't win, what do you do now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
sure.
the real king, like they're saying here, they're willing to die for their king.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have to be willing, of course, and God bless our military forces and the United States military throughout the world, who has done such a beautiful job for us and paying the ultimate price. And we think about them too, of course, mm-hmm. This month. But really to try to make a good decision when we go. But ultimately on Wednesday, you know, are we going to start thinking about who is the king of my life, mm-hmm. right?
Well, you know, we do have various allegiances. You know, there are certainly there are people that we do have great responsibility for and toward in our lives, and so but we try to keep them all in the proper perspective. You know, obviously we need to live and abide by the laws of society, by the laws of our country, by the laws of just what it means to be human beings with one another. But we keep expanding those circles, and we have the ultimate sense of, well, to whom are we ultimately accountable? Mm. As you refer to him as the king of all hearts, the king of the universe, God is the one to whom we are ultimately accountable. So while we have allegiances to those who govern us, and we have to abide by certain laws, there are certain laws too, if they contradict matters of faith or moral principles, you know, that puts us in one of those situations where right. we have to make some choices.
Absolutely.
And so I think to your point, the election day itself is an important day. It's an important part of what makes our country great. But it, each day, as you're implying here, each day is a day where we have to live in our world and give our allegiances in the appropriate ways to those that to whom we owe them.
Absolutely. And I also was thinking about, you know, we're talking about the resurrection, you know. Jesus is constantly reminding us, and we all have to think about that too. You know, you mention this quite often, you know, where are you going at the end of your life?
Sure.
And, I kind of ponder that myself sometimes, you know, but am I going to church? Am I thinking, am I away from the church? Why am I away from the church? Have I become too involved with, have I been distracted to the point to where I don't care about God anymore? But there is going to be a resurrection. And of course, in the last part of the gospel reading there, you know, Jesus is telling us plainly, are you going to be in the resurrection or not? Just like with these men and women. And I think about, you know, that this woman is also involved in both of these situations. Mm-hmm. And of course, our moms play a key role, right? Without our moms, none of us would be here.
Sure.
Right. So it's a time it's a big decision on Tuesday, but in some ways I always kind of tell people, I say, your bigger decision is going to be on Wednesday, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
You know, what are you going to do?
And Thursday and Friday.
Amen.
And,
that's right.
All the days that follow from that. You
yes.
know, you brought up again the gospel, and it is one of those gospel passages that in some ways we have to really ponder and think about, but St. Luke does a good job of making sure that we know who Jesus was dealing with, and so he tells us that it was the Sadducees. Remember that there are the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and so the Sadducees, St. Luke helps us by saying, they're the ones, don't forget, that right. deny there is a resurrection. So they didn't believe that there was anything after this life. So, but they come knowing that Jesus is talking about an afterlife, and so they come up with this kind of preposterous,
right.
exaggerated situation, knowing that the Mosaic law did talk about the fact that if a man died childless, there was some responsibility on the part of the next of kin,
right.
so to speak, to try to help that person to have an heir.
Mm-hmm.
So they make this outlandish kind of a situation where there was a woman and,
right.
and there were seven brothers, and each brother took their turn, and they all died, and
right.
nobody had children, and so whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection that you keep talking about? You know, it's kind of the trying to put Jesus right in the corner. Yeah. And, of course, Jesus masterfully is not ever put in the corner, and he just simply says, well, you're kind of foolish when you're thinking that way, because really there is no marriage, so to speak. When people enter into this new life, it's a whole new experience. Yes. It's a whole new reality.
Yes.
And, you know, so I think Jesus just wants us to realize the important thing is not trying to figure out, well, how is it all going to work? But the fact that we're going to pass from this life into a new life,
yes,
into a new reality, and to share in the resurrection and eternal life.
Absolutely. And so that's what we have to ask ourselves. We're going to end here in just about a minute or so. But, Bishop, what would you say to people who have been away from the church for a while? What would you offer to them?
I would say come back. Amen. You know, that this is really an opportunity, you know, for all of us to just ask that basic question: Where am I going in this life, and to whom am I accountable? We have, as we heard St. Paul tell us in today's second reading, the Lord is faithful; He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. That's our God.
Amen.
It's not one that's trying to chide us, but one that's trying to always say, come back to me and let me love you.
Amen. Could you give us your blessing, Bishop?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you throughout this week. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley.